And welcome again to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted Brewer Show, brought to you by Health Masters. This is Ted Brewer, your host for Thursday, June the 25th, 2015. And let me kind of introduce myself to a few of you folks who probably haven't heard of me yet or don't know what I do. During the past 25 or 35 years, I've been doing radio and TV. You've probably heard me on one of your local TV or radio shows or seminars, or maybe you've heard me on the Hagman Show or the Dave Hodges Show, or as a guest host on many different shows around the country. And, you know, we decided to go ahead and rather be in a constraint as far as time and what we couldn't talk about, which some shows require that. We decided to go ahead and start our own show and to basically bring you up-to-date news on health, on nutrition, up-to-date news on cutting-edge news going around the country, like the Trans-Pacific Partnership right now. And we want to go into detail on all of these different topics today as best we possibly can. Later on in the next few weeks, we're going to be having Hagman on. In fact, I believe Hagman will be on next week, and Dave Hodges will be on next Monday with me, and I'll be interviewing them. And we'll be bringing on additional guests and opening up the phone calls and opening up the lines. But right now, as we're getting started on this broadcast, we just kind of wanted to work the bugs out of the show and get things moving and make sure everything's working really well. But as you guys know, the Trans-Pacific Partnership Fast Track was passed yesterday, and I want to talk just a little bit about that because there's so much of that already on the mainstream news and also on the alternative news that I didn't want to make a big show about that because you guys already know about it. I've been heavily lobbying against that, calling my congressmen, calling my senators, sending out a plethora, literally thousands of emails, asking my friends to call Congress and Senate not to allow the Fast Track to take place, and it's taken place. You know, the TPP is not yet passed, but it's on the way, and they'll be bringing it back again. It's not going to go away. We have to stand in the aggregate against this, and we have to realize that this is being brought to us by the international banking cartels and their interlocking corporate directorships, and we're basically turning into a country that's being run by a group of corporations that are primarily owned by the large banks, primarily the Rothschild cartel that started the Federal Reserve Bank in our country in 1913. And when we get a little bit later on in the show, we'll be opening up phone calls, and you guys can ask me any kind of questions you want to ask on that, and I'll do the best I can to possibly answer it. But there's so much to talk about today that I wanted to start today's show just talking a little bit about Health Masters and what we do and about what we're planning on doing on this show. What I want to be able to do is to bring the latest cutting-edge technologies on health and nutrition to this show. I want to go into detail on how folks can help by changing their diet and changing their lifestyle, how they can lower blood pressure, cholesterol, triglycerides, and blood sugar levels. I've had folks ask me now for many, many years to start my own radio talk show. We'll be doing it with satellite radio because it's just easier for everything. And what we learned over the years is years ago we had our own national TV talk show that we had taped many, many episodes for. We were airing that. And we started to find out that it was very difficult to do that because it had to be taped in advance. It couldn't be live. It was difficult to take calls. It was difficult to have guests. And so we decided that wasn't really for us. That was about 10 years ago. And I've appeared on thousands and thousands of radio and TV shows over the years, and I really enjoy doing that. But what I wanted to do now is be able to get together with you guys and talk to you on a regular basis, kind of like I did with the Power Hour and all these other shows that I've hosted over the past years, and actually get to know the listeners and have call-ins. Now, today we're not going to be doing that because we're not set up for that yet, but I'm going to start doing that probably within a week and a half. Because I really like the call-in interaction, and I really enjoy people calling up and asking questions, and I enjoy the debate as far as the ability to be able to do that if I can or if I want to. And so that's why we're going to do the show live. It'll also be available in archives, and also should be available on iTunes. So we're going to have a lot of fun with this and really get the information out. Plus, we'll be promoting this show on our website and sending out emails to promote it. So if you do miss one of the shows, we'll send you a link back to the archives so you can be able to do that. But let's start off with some psychiatric drugs real quick, and then we're going to – on the TPP, I could go off on this and go berserk on this, but I can tell you this. What this fast track is going to do and what TPP is going to do, if we don't stop it, if we don't get to the Congress and the Senate before they start allowing this stuff to go through, they've streamlined it now to make it a lot easier to get it passed through Obama. And what we have to do is make sure that we stay on the phones to the congressmen and to the senators not to allow that to happen. What it's done is turned over the United States to a group of interlocking corporate directorships to determine the future of the country, which will be able to make laws against us without even us participating in those laws. it's kind of like with Angela Merkel. You know, she's been able to pretty much work with the European Union, and they've been able to run Germany into a whole bunch of debt, signing on to debt on a bunch of different countries. And my friends in Germany, my relatives that still live there, they've said, you know, we didn't sign on this. We don't want to do this. We don't know what the heck we're doing because nobody even asks us. So it's kind of interesting how they're taking control of the people away from the people, and we're turning into kind of like an oligarchical corporation that's being managing us, and soon we're going to have open borders, you know, with a whole, probably these other different countries that we're entering into these agreements with. It's going to be a big mess. It's going to be like NAFTA on steroids. But we're going to continue to stay on top of this as we're going and talk about more and more of what's going on with all of that. Also today, I want to talk about prescription drugs and the there's a really good article. This is some cutting edge news that just came out. It's called Manufacturing Madness, The Pseudoscience of Modern Psychiatry. It's by Null. I really appreciate his writing. He does an excellent job. And I want to read you a little bit about Prozac, the antidepressant drug, which, by the way, one study was done, oh gosh, I guess it was 10, 15 years ago now, linking to saying that if you took omega-3 fats like fish oil, that you have, they actually work better than Prozac and Zoloft and these SSRI drugs. But let me give you some background on these. 26 years have passed since Prozac, the antidepressant drug, was introduced to the U.S. market and quickly achieved the label of a wonder drug. In the decade that followed, other antidepressant drugs, including Paxil, Zoloft, Luvox, would also be released, creating an entire class of medications known as selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. Since hitting the shelves, the popularity of SSRIs has skyrocketed. Today, listen to these numbers, listen to these statistics. Today, 1 in 10 Americans reaches for antidepressants daily. That's over 30 million people. This ratio jumps to an incredible 25% among women between the ages of 40 and 59, when, of course, a lot of them are entering into menopause or coming out of menopause. Approximately 5% of children ages 12 to 19 are also taking antidepressants. Worldwide, mental illness is now the leading cause of disability among children. Active members, and forgive me for laughing, because this is just the irony of all of these things. I wrote a book years ago, back I think it was 2000 or 2001. It was called Maximum Solutions for ADD, Autism, and Learning Disabilities in Kids. And that book's out of print now, but it's still available if you want to read it, because some of the information is outdated, but it's still accurate for what it says. You can get it on Amazon probably for a couple bucks a book now. If you'd like, you can go to our website, healthmasters.com, which is sponsoring this show, and you can sign up for my free newsletter that we send out 3 times a week on all these different topics. But go ahead, let me finish reading you this. This is important. Active members and veterans of the U.S. military become especially dependent on psychiatric meds. Today, about 1 in 6 service members, that's like 17%, right, are using antidepressants and sedatives and other psychiatric drugs in an attempt to cope with a traumatic post-stress disorder and other afflictions. From 2001 to 2009 alone, psychiatric drug use in this demographic has risen by 76%. And in 2010 alone, the Pentagon spent more than $280 million on psychiatric drugs. I mean, these are just absolutely crazy. So let's break some of this down. Number one, fact, psychiatric drugs are dangerous. We know that because of the suicides associated with the black box warnings and so many of these shooters around the country are ending up being found out to be on psychiatric drugs when they're shooting and killing people. It's not a problem of gun control in the United States. It's a problem of psychiatric control of all these drugs. Second fact, psychiatric drugs have been shown repeatedly by double-blind clinical research studies to not be effective in almost all cases. I mean, that's amazing to me. They just don't statistically work. That's why I said fish oil works better. Fact number 3, psychiatric diagnoses have no basis in science. This is a big thing that folks don't understand. There's really nobody out there telling the truth now, but Dr. Leon Eisenberg did tell the truth, and I talked about this one on a national talk show I did a couple years ago. He said in 2009, he was an eminent child psychiatrist. His name is Dr. Leon Eisenberg. In his final interview on his deathbed, Eisenberg reported and clearly revealed that ADD and ADHD is a prime example of a fictitious disease and that he made up the disease. The bombshell came at the end of Eisenberg's long career developing theories in modern psychiatry that led to the creation of ADD and other mental disorders. The guy who made this stuff up on his deathbed says, hey guys, I lied. This is not something that I wanted to do, but you know, I did. I guess I got a lot of money for this, so there you go. But before I check out of here, the karma's been so bad now for what I've done, I need to make sure I get this right. Crazy stuff. fact, the psychiatric establishment is bought and paid for by Big Pharma. We know that, we know that, we know that. In fact, that was Dr. Marcia Engel, the former editor-in-chief of the New York England Journal of Medicine, who now serves as a senior lecturer in social medicine at Harvard School University, said that basically as psychiatry became a drug-intensive specialty, the pharmaceutical industry was quick to see the advantage of forming an alliance with the psychiatric profession. Drug companies began to lavish attention on psychiatrists, both individually, collectively, directly, and indirectly. They showered gifts and free samples on practicing psychiatrists, hired them as consultants and speakers, bought them meals, helped pay for them to attend conferences, and supplied them with educational materials. When Minnesota and Vermont implemented sunshine laws, required drug companies report all payments to doctors, psychiatrists were found to receive more money than physicians in any other specialty. The pharmaceutical industry also subsidizes meetings of the APA and other psychiatric conferences. About a fifth of the APA funding now comes from drug companies. I've got an excellent article you guys can read that I personally wrote on a good friend of mine. His name is Mike. I believe we changed the name on the article now, and he came to me with a severe depression about 10 years ago now, after his son had died on a motorcycle accident, and he had owned several restaurants, and it's a long story, but he ended up coming to me he was suicidally depressed, and he had worked with his doctor coming off these SSRIs, and he had not come off of them very well, and he continued to work with his doctor, and we put him on a full nutrition program, including B vitamins, omega-3 fats. And after a few months, he started feeling so much better. Now he's completely better. He's completely well, and he's doing it without any drugs. And see, you can do things like that, but you've got to be really careful, especially if you're addicted on these drugs. Serotonin and side effects. I mean, you know, the thing about this is we could do a whole show just on that. I'm not going to today. I appreciate Dr. Null writing this excellent article on this. But let's go ahead and do some more health nutrition things. Here's 7 ways to unclog your arteries naturally. This is another excellent article from Green Med Info. And what the article says is that B vitamins have been used for years to show the reduction of atherosclerotic plaquing. Also, garlic, especially raw garlic, is very, very good for you. Pomegranate has been shown to help regress plaque buildup in arteries. Fermented cabbage is another good way to be using it, like sauerkraut. I mean, we try to eat sauerkraut on an ongoing basis. It's so healthy for you. L-arginine, that's a very good product. We have it in our HGH Stimulate product. It's capable of preventing arterial thickening. Now, we also combine it with citrulline, which helps to release human growth hormone, which helps the body to burn body fat. That's called our HGH Stimulate, and you can go to our website, bodybyted.com, bodybyted.com, and you'll see our HGH Stimulate right on the front page. Turmeric, excellent product. I take it every single day. This has been shown by 30 different studies to be a cardioprotective. Also, sesame seeds are good. Black seeds are good, and I always love vitamin E, and I love cod liver oil. I know that's more than 7, but I'm giving you a couple bonus ones there. The vitamin E is absolutely important because it helps to thin the blood. One of the biggest problems that people have is thick blood sludge, because they're not drinking enough water, they're not getting enough blood thinner like vitamin E or cod liver oil in their diet, they're not getting enough omega-3s in their diet, they get too many omega-6 oils like corn oil and safflower oil, which actually make the blood thicker. So what we've learned is this: if you keep the cod liver oil in your diet, I take 1 or 2 tablespoons a day, it also helps massively with depression, it also helps massively with joint pain, plus it also helps to thin the blood, along with vitamin E, then your blood stays thin, and you need to drink half your body weight in fluid ounces and purified water every day. That's super important because, again, the primary constituent of blood is water, and when you don't have sufficient quantities of water in the blood gets too thick. When the blood gets too thick, the viscosity goes up. The heart has to pound, pound, pound to make this blood pump through the body. Very, very difficult for the body, very difficult for the heart, really increases the risks of strokes, high blood pressure. Also, that's one of the reasons that doctors give you Coumadin, or warfarin, which are both blood thinners, which are both rat poisons. And if you're not careful with those, you can actually bleed out through your kidneys. That's actually how they killed my mother. May she rest in peace. May God rest her, bless her soul. Years ago in a nursing home, I didn't suggest that they put her on this. They did it, and I did not have power of attorney over her. It was against my wishes, but they did it, and she actually bled out in her sleep. So when I talk about this stuff, it kind of hits home for me because I can't talk about it a whole lot because it'll start getting me kind of upset because of my mom. But the reality is you need to learn how to keep that blood thin. You need to work on constant cardiovascular health. Every day I take 4 ounces of pomegranate juice, the raw pomegranate juice, the organic pomegranate juice. I got a 2-ounce cup that I have measured out. Every morning I take a shot of it, every night I take a shot of it, and it really, really helps to reverse a lot of this plaquing, and it's been shown statistically and through research to do that. Now, let's go to another study. 80% of the people in the United States are deficient in magnesium. Now, here's a big problem with magnesium. Magnesium is very difficult to take internally because it acts as a laxative. When you start taking magnesium internally, what it does, it wants to push through the bowels very quickly, and when it does that, it doesn't absorb. That's the problem with magnesium. Now, what we found that works a lot better, we have a product that's called magnesium chloride, and it's from Dead Sea Salts, and you soak your feet in it. We also have a really good deodorant that has the magnesium chloride in it. It works great. It doesn't have a bunch of chemicals in it. There's no aluminum in it. Some studies are now, they now seem to indicate that women are having much higher incidence of breast cancer because of aluminum chlorhydrate antiperspirant deodorants. And that the breast fluid from the nipple, when taken and examined, is 50% higher in aluminum on a tissue that has breast cancer. So, ladies, stay off of these antiperspirant deodorants. Avoid them like they're the plague. Also, remember, the aluminum has been linked repeatedly to Alzheimer's disease and senile dementia. That's one of the reasons that I really, really advise you against taking these different types of immunizations, which are using aluminum as an adjuvant, because the aluminum in that immunization is being directly put into your blood, and it can accumulate in your brain. It can give you Alzheimer's disease. It can also give you senile dementia. A study was done a few years ago. So if you take just 3 flu shots in a row, you increase your risk of senile dementia by 50%. Remember, the flu shots and the multivial shots still contain thimerosal, which are mercury, which is a neurological toxin, along with aluminum. So this is some really poisonous stuff that you're putting into your bodies, and you need to really reevaluate whether you want to do that or not. Plus, don't use aluminum pots, aluminum cookware. Don't use anything that is aluminum in your cooking, regardless. I don't care if it's clad in stainless or whatever. Still, you don't need to use it. Make sure it's stainless steel. Make sure it's cast iron. Make sure it's glass. That's it. And also, don't use Teflon. And if you have to heat something up to melt it or whatever in a microwave, do it sparingly. Microwaves are really, really bad for you. It's a really bad... It's just you don't need to nuke the product like that. It really destroys the nutritional quality of the food, the enzymes, everything in that microwave. It's just really unhealthy to do. But let's go back to magnesium again. We use it every single day. In fact, I have a foot soak we use every morning. I bought this foot soak thing off Amazon. It's been great because it keeps the water hot. Symptoms of magnesium can be subtle. As most magnesium is stored in the tissues, leg cramps, foot pain, and muscle twitches can be the first sign. Other early signs of magnesium deficiency include loss of appetite, nausea, vomiting, fatigue, weakness. Magnesium deficiency worsens, you get numbness, tingling, seizures, personality changes, abnormal heart arrhythmia, and coronary spasms. And so what's very interesting about this, a lot of people don't realize, a lot of people can't sleep at night because they have a magnesium deficiency, or they have muscle cramps at night because they have a magnesium deficiency, or they end up with panic attacks because they have a magnesium deficiency. Magnesium is so important. It's used in over 300 biochemical reactions of the body, and your body needs it. It burns it. It needs fresh amounts of magnesium every single day. That's why we soak our feet every single day in our magnesium salt. We have the magnesium balm. If you go to our healthmasters.com website, which is bringing you the show, you can go there and you can see the magnesium that we have there. We have an entire magnesium kit. And while you're there, we also have a healthy blood sugar kit from Hagman that we worked with him on, and also a healthy joint kit that we worked with Dave Hodges on. So we've got a lot of really great stuff on that website. Plus, you can sign up for the newsletter. Now, let's go back to the other news other than nutrition right now. I think this is important that we cover as much of this different stuff as we possibly can throughout the show. We have an update here from the All News Pipeline. And this is an interesting article that was written here by Stephen Stanford. And he goes, fully armed military vehicles are in Montana, convoy, with a U.S. government van as tyranny takes control across America. Now, these are full-blown Hummer with 50 caliber machine guns and turrets going down the highway. This is just absolutely nuts. I mean, what in the world are these things doing? I mean, how are they happening? I mean, what in the world can we say about all of this? I mean, this is not okay. I mean, posse comitatus of our Constitution, of course, that's been nullified now by other bills, but that's what we used to have, was forbid the deployment of troops on American soil. I mean, I remember the first time I went to Germany back in the 70s. I remember this. I don't see this anymore, but I saw this in the 70s. they were still, I guess, of course, they're still like kind of a fiefdom, I guess, because we still control everything Germany does because of our treaties that we had with them after World War II. That's why we still have our military bases over there. If you don't like it, check it out. You'll see I'm right. They can't even get rid of the military bases if they wanted to, I don't guess, unless they just absolutely threw us out. And I don't think they're going to do that. But the point is this. The first time I went to the airport in Germany was like 1977, and I was there with my father. And my dad was pretty old at that time. He was already, oh, gosh, I guess I was 21 years old. And Dad was probably 75 years old. And what was interesting, he ended up talking to me about the military in Germany and how active they were at the airports. And I remember I went into the airport, and here these guys are walking around with M16 machine guns. They were still using M16s back then, with attack dogs. I mean, with full, you know, banana clips, with the flip-around banana clips, you have two sets of 30 clips, 30 rounds, magazines, in these guns. And they had the double clips tacked into the bottom of the gun, and they were carrying extra hips on their belt, extra magazines on their belt. And I thought, gosh, it's like a police state. I said, this is crazy. I mean, all over the airports. And I thought, this is just nuts. And I started thinking, wow, I hope that never happens in the United States. You know, and little by little, because of TSA, and what's happening with all of these different treaties that we're getting involved in that we don't really want to be in, and all of the open borders of the southern United States. I mean, we used to have a southern border of the United States. Now we have a, I don't know what it is. It used to be the former southern border, I guess we could call it. And now we just have all of these illegals coming across the border with who knows what diseases. I mean, this is what happened in Germany. Last summer, last spring. We were in Germany a year ago. And I'll never forget, we were coming off the off-ramp going down into Berlin. And I'll never forget, we had a guy try to rob us, a Romanian, at the bottom of the hill at the red light. I mean, he tried to get into the car. I couldn't believe it. You know, I was so happy the door was locked. And it's a crazy story. When we have more time on another show, I'll tell you the whole story. But I couldn't believe it. Then I went to the hotel, the Westin there in Germany, in the Berlin, and I drove up there, and I speak a little bit of German still. I started talking to the guy. I said, you need to call the police. This guy just tried to rob us. And the guy from the hotel started laughing. And he goes, and I said, why are you laughing at me? He goes, it happens every day, all day in Berlin. It's the Romanians. They have come across the borders from Romania. They have the Romanian mafia. They traffic girls. They traffic sex slaves. He goes, they would have, if they could have gotten in your car, they probably would have stolen and taken your 11-year-old daughter, who's 11 at that point, and it would have been awful. And they probably would have stabbed you and killed you. It happens every day. And I said, you've got to be kidding me. I said, why don't you do anything about it? He said, we can't do anything about it. We have open borders. If we throw them out, they just come right back. There's no border checkpoints. There's no way to stop this. It's insane. It's destroying Germany. It's destroying our culture. It's destroying our way of life. And he looked at me. He kind of laughed, and he goes, soon that'll be what happens to you in America. And I thought, no way, no way. And, of course, right after that, I got home, and we started finding out all about the open borders in Mexico and all these people coming across with all these different diseases. Now, what's funny about this, and I don't mean funny ha-ha, but funny in irony, is that we didn't realize this was going to happen to us until it started happening to us because we didn't pay attention to what was going on. The same thing has happened to Germany. Germany's never really had its sovereignty since World War II, since we took over there, and they signed just an absolute surrender. Now, what was interesting, before that, they signed an armistice in World War One. People need to remember that. Germany was never defeated in World War One. They signed a ceasefire, an armistice, but then they were forced to pay war reparations due to the Versailles Treaty, which sowed the seeds of fascism and World War Two by bringing in Hitler to try to clean up the mess that was done over there as far as the debt that they were in from all of the bills they had to pay for World War One. Now, what's interesting about this is I often ask my mom, who was born in Germany, how did this happen, Mom? She goes, son, it never happened that we even saw it happening. It was all little by little. They'd pass a regulation, they'd pass a law, they'd pass another regulation, they'd pass a law. All of a sudden we had gun registration, and all of a sudden we had this. And all of a sudden it was like, we didn't even see it coming. It happened so slowly. And guys, listen to me. That's exactly the same thing that's happening right now in the United States. But now we are all seeing it. I mean, right now we can hear the stormtroopers marching down the cobblestone streets of Washington, D.C., and we're wondering, how the heck did this just happen? And I hope and I pray to God that we can do better than the Germans did, you know, with the onset of Hitler and the onslaught of Hitler and the onslaught of World War II. I mean, we've got a mess going on right now in the United States, and we need to be made aware of it. I mean, why do we have military convoys going down the highways? We've got them in Texas, we've got them in Florida, and I know we've got the Jade Helm exercises coming up, but why do we have to be subjected to this? Is this what we lost on 9/11? Is this really what we lost? We lost our freedom? We lost our way of life. We lost what we know as America. This is unacceptably by any standards. And so it's interesting, but we'll talk more about this later on in different shows. All right, here's another article I want to go over with you guys real quick. Oh, this is another one. Is this the Second Cavalry in Texas? It's insignia for the Second Cavalry in Texas. A military train is loaded down. B-52 bombers now flying over Texas. I mean, what are they preparing to do? Why is this Jade Helm video doing this? Why is this happening? It's interesting to me because Steve Quayle is warning us about this. Alex Jones is warning us about this. Hagmans are warning about this. I'm warning about this. Hodges has been at the tip of the spear with all of this stuff. And we're wondering, why is this happening? Why are we allowing it? Well, it's interesting. My mom told me this. She said, what would happen in Germany, she said, Ted, what they would do is they would come in if a person said something about what happened the night before or what happened with Hitler. They were having a conversation with one of their neighbors. The neighbors would narc them out if they didn't like what Hitler was doing. That's the old see something, say something that Obama started up. Call the White House. Here's the whole toll-free hotline. See something, say something. Narc out your neighbor. And what ended up happening is mom said that they would come into the neighborhood in the middle of the night, the Gestapo would, or the SS, and they would take the parents and their children and they would haul them off. And these weren't Jews I'm talking about. These were Christians and Catholics and people just were against Hitler. They could have been Jews, but not necessarily. But what was interesting, she said the following day they'd come in with a bulldozer, bulldoze the entire house. Then the following day they'd come in to haul off the remains and sod the yard. And so you'd have a brand new yard there as if those people never, ever existed. Now, she said after that happened two or three times in the neighborhood, everybody just shut up. So is that where we're going? Is that what's going to happen to us here in the United States? That our houses are going to be bulldozed and then sodded? I mean, I'll be honest with you guys, I was born back in the 50s. I remember Andy of Mayberry and, you know, and Gilligan's Island and Gomer Pyle and Hogan's Heroes. I mean, that's what we all cut our teeth on as kids. Now it's every perverted sitcom on the planet's on TV. You can't even turn on the TV without just being just immersed in filth. You know, we're very selective. We've got a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old and a 16-year-old living at home with us still, plus my 26-year-old. He runs Health Masters for me down at the office when you call, Austin. And we're very careful with the young ones as far as not even allowing them TV access unless we're there with them. We tell them to go read a book. Go read a novel. Go exercise your brain instead of sitting in front of your TV set in alpha brainwave state, believing the lies that you're being told and being subjected and immersed into this culture that's so deviant and so sick. Because remember, these globalists, they want to destroy the very idea of America. They want to destroy the idea of the American flag. They want to destroy the idea of the United States. They don't want that. They want to be part of a global conglomerate now, made of corporations that they can control, the laws they can pass. All we're here for is to basically be their slaves and to buy their stuff. And that's their goal. Now with the TPP fast track, it basically, if this goes through with what Obama now can do, he'll turn into a dictator, just like Hitler did. This is not good. This is not good at all. All right, let's go to another news story. This is interesting. The famous autism researcher, Dr. Jeff Bradstreet, medical doctor, has died of an alleged self-inflicted gunshot wound to his chest. Update. The Bradstreet family has said publicly on my Facebook page today they are going to get to the bottom of this. They have started a GoFundMe page to go do a thorough investigation to see if there was foul play. His body was found floating in a river with a gunshot wound. Now, what's interesting to me is this. He's found floating in a river with a gunshot wound. Well, apparently they didn't find the gun because it probably would have gone to the bottom of the river. I mean, why are they suddenly saying he shot himself? He was the one who was talking about autism, what was going on with the immunizations. He's becoming world famous, getting tremendous traction against the conglomerate, which is the American Medical Association with their enforcement arm of the Food and Drug Administration and all the drug companies that control them with interlocking corporate directorships. And now all of a sudden he's found dead. And now it suddenly goes, oh, it's a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the chest. Well, how in the world do they possibly know that? I mean, that's nonsense. We don't know what happened to this guy. And I'm glad the parent is going ahead and doing something to try to figure out what's happening with him and why this has happened. Here's another interesting story. U.S. Admiral Aide says that 7 Afghans on board is a very big deal on the helicopter that was shot down with SEAL Team 6. Now, think about that. We knew about the Afghans that were on board, but now it's coming mainstream. In an ongoing series, this is an article by Tim Brown. He goes, in an ongoing series, I'm going to maintain and to bring to the forefront an attempt to get answers to a very real question about the downing of SEAL Team 6 on Extortion 17 in August of 2011. These questions are also going to consider that these types of endangerment members of our special operations, forgive me, I used special forces several times in the last article, continue to this day in Afghanistan. Consider there were 8 Afghans on board Extortion 17 on August 6, 2011, as it was shot out of the sky and America lost nearly 24 Navy SEALs along with Army Rangers and National Guard pilots. It was a devastating blow, and this was the same SEAL team that has allegedly was used to take out Osama bin Laden just months before. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say something here real quick. I told my wife, now, I can't document this, but I'm going to say it anyhow, and when they went to the White House with this, quote, SEAL Team 6, and they were being given all of these accolades for having killed Osama bin Laden in this supposed raid, when many, many top researchers said he had died, you know, 10 years earlier from kidney failure, all of a sudden he shows up again. They kill him. Then they dump his body and give a burial at sea without any autopsies or anything else, or any DNA verification. And suddenly we're all supposed to believe this guy who they've been chasing all these years are, you know, that they're the ones who killed him. And then we have, like, our entire White House staff sitting in the boardroom watching this as it happens, getting a really good press feed from it. I just find that whole thing odd. And I told my wife, I told her when this happened, I said, Sharon, I said, those boys are going to die. And she goes, what do you mean? I said, they can't leave a bunch of Swift boat operators running around like they did with Jim Carrey, telling the truth about, you know, about Carrey. And, you know, I said, they can't do that. They have to go ahead and they have to get rid of these guys. Because when Carrey was running for president, all these guys were coming out of the woodwork saying it's not true, it's not true, it's not true. He didn't do this, he didn't do this, he wasn't a hero, we didn't follow him, blah, blah, blah. They couldn't do that again when Obama was going to be running for president, or when Hillary Clinton was going to be running for president, or whoever the globalists or the Bilderbergers want to run for president. That's basically what's going on with our country, that of the Vatican, the United States military, and the Bank of England and the Rothschilds. They're all a big conglomerate, a group of people that are running everything as far as in the Western countries. And what's interesting, I told her that, and we were in Europe when all that happened, when that helicopter was shot down, and my wife looked at me and she goes, you said that was going to happen. I said, I hoped it wasn't going to happen. I said, but I figured it was going to happen because they had to cut everybody out and they had to shut everybody up. So I just think it's interesting what happened with that whole thing. I have no idea who did it, how it happened, but now we're finding out that there were Afghans on this helicopter with these guys. Well, I find that interesting, and I also find it very sad. This is a really good article by Cheryl Chumley, and she wrote, Supreme Court Thomas kicks the First Amendment to the curb. The U.S. Supreme Court has pretty much been kicked the First Amendment's Freedom of Speech Clause to the curb, and you can blame one of the most conservative voices for that, Justin Clarence Thomas. In a ruling handed down on Monday, the court found Texas Department of Motor Vehicles versus Texas Division of Sons of the Confederate Veterans, the government does indeed have the authority to regulate political speech. Now, I'm going to repeat this again. Now, folks, listen to me. This is important. They ruled that the government has the right and the authority to regulate political speech. This is what Hitler did. He said, I don't want dissenters in the press. I don't want anti-Nazi, anti-Hitler rhetoric going out over the airwaves. I don't want that. I want to control the press. I want to control what's being said. I want to control the narrative. So he took over the newspapers, took over everything. Said, no, we're not doing this. So, yes, that's the ruling. The government can now legally regulate private political speech. The justices should have glanced at the statements of one of their colleagues, Justice Thurgood Marshall, who in 1972 made it clear, above all else, the First Amendment means that government has no power to restrict expression because of its message, its ideas, its subject matter, or its content. To permit the continued building of our politics and culture and to self-fulfillment of each individual, our people are guaranteed the right to express any thought free from government censorship. The essence of this forbidden censorship is content control. Content control indeed, and content control on the part of the government toward the three American citizens is now what we have. We now have the thought and the speech police in Texas. And now we'll have that nationwide, in which the government can do what they want to do, and we no longer have protection of freedom of speech when it comes to political statements. I mean, this is the consequences of this ruling. And if you guys don't see this, the consequences of this ruling are so huge and so broad-reaching and so all-encompassing, there is no guarantee that the First Amendment's going to even survive with any of this stuff, or the Second Amendment, or of course, aren't they just taking away all the amendments anyhow? That seems like what we're doing anyhow, because they can say, well, the First Amendment's no good, the Second Amendment's no good, we don't need guns because you can't have a gun because that's against political speech. I mean, unbelievable. And so the sad part about this is that now we have tyranny being imposed, just like my mom said happened in Germany, one regulation, one law at a time. Here's another good article from Lee Jijian. This guy I really enjoy. He's a good writer. He does a lot with News with Views. He said, "How to kill the culture, make the kids crazy." And he goes, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, although it's flesh and blood villains arrayed against us at this time, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Ephesians 6:12. One of the shows we'll go into detail on all of that, in the different dimensions and how this is affecting what's happening in this reality of this holographic projection we're all living in. Kill the culture and the culture will kill you right back, okay? Here is an interesting story. There was a kid here in Florida. I read this in the news a few weeks ago, about a month and a half ago, I guess. Recently, an 11-year-old boy in Florida came home from school to find his folks hadn't gotten home yet. As it turned out, they were held up by bad weather and a traffic jam. So he harmlessly fulfilled his time shooting baskets in his own yard. Okay? This innocent pastime plunged the entire family into a world that's a nightmare. There's a law in his town against children engaging in unsupervised play outdoors in their own yard, an activity which used to be called childhood. A neighborhood busybody called the police. They may not be much for coming down on drug dealers, knockout games, which my brother got knocked out a couple years ago. It's awful what happened to him. Arson, rape, riots, or murder. But boy, are they there when they get a chance to cause a child to be arrested and arrest their parents for unsupervised play. The kid was 11 years old. He wasn't 2 or 3. He was 11. The parents were arrested. They were strip searched. Pure humiliation. Then they were jailed, and the boy was taken from his family for an entire month until a relatively sane judge ordered him back home. I mean, I don't even know what to say about this. I was doing a show with Doug Hagman just a few weeks ago, and he and I talked about what's happening with Department of Child Family Services in Florida and all over the country now. It's not just Florida. These are organizations that are completely out of control. Somebody can drop a dime on you from another state, from another country, and call the 800 hotline and say they saw you abuse your child. Within 24 hours, the police are going to show up to examine that child. Within 48 hours, the Department of Family Services are going to come up and start an investigation on you. And you may not have done anything. You may not have said anything. You may have fussed at your child in public. They go outside, and they get your tag, and they turn your tag in. I mean, this is unbelievable what's happened in the United States with the Department of Family Services. And I know their excuse is, well, we didn't follow through on all of these complaints before, and we found these children, you know, later that had been abused or had been killed by their parents or by their caregivers because we didn't follow up on it. Well, I got a news flash for you. An 11-year-old child in the backyard shooting hoops, waiting for his parents to get home or caught in a traffic jam, that is not child neglect or child abuse. That's a kid playing in his backyard. I can't tell you how many times when I was a little kid, you know, we used to live on a couple acres of land, and we had a lake. We had cottages and all that kind of stuff when I was a kid. And, you know, I'd go down to the lake and play in the lake, unsupervised, by myself. You know, we had a canal running beside the property that was filled with water moccasins and everything else. And I've killed so many of those crazy things. I hate pit vipers. repeat that in case you don't know what it is. A pit viper is a poisonous snake with a triangular head. I hate those things. And I ended up basically killing literally hundreds of water moccasins over the years because, you know, you live in Florida, you're going to get snakes. But the point is, nobody was abusing me. I was playing. It was a normal pastime. We had a football team in the neighborhood, and we go play sandlot football. We have any adult supervision. So all the parents who allow their kids to go play football should be arrested because they didn't have adults? I mean, are you kidding me? No unsupervised play? I mean, insanity. I mean, guys, you know, I remember Hagman and I talked about this, and he said this, and I agree with him 100%. If you ever have somebody show up at your house who claims to be with the Department of Family Services, the best thing for you to do is say, sorry, I can't talk to you without my attorney present. If you need to see my child, there they are. They're healthy. They're good. But we are not going to have any kind of discussion with you until my attorney is present and I have legal representation. You got to trust me on this, friends. I know too many people who didn't do that, who their whole lives were turned upside down for some of them for years. And not one of the people that I know this happened to had done anything wrong. Almost all of them were law-abiding citizens. A lot of them were homeschoolers, parents who were Christians, who were preachers. I mean, this is nuts. Here's a good article right here from, from Dave. This is from Dave Dobermeyer. Oh, by the way, July the 4th, we're going to be going, I'm going to be there, and Dobermeyer is going to be speaking. Also, Hagman's going to be speaking. We're doing a seminar in Washington, D.C. for 1 week. It's a meeting with Pastor Rodney Howard Brown, who's one of the finest TV pastors, evangelists in the world. He's real. Now, I'm going to tell you something that may make you mad right now, but I'm going to tell you anyhow, because it's just, if you're still listening to me now after the last 40 minutes of me going on like this, you've got to be pretty much liking what I got to say. 90% of your TV evangelists are crooks. I'm going to tell you that. Now, 10% of them are pretty good. I'll give them that. 90% of them are crooks. If you hear them say, give me money and you'll be blessed, just turn off the channel or go to another station or whatever. Don't listen to that. If they say, give me money and somebody will send you a check mysteriously in the mail, just don't really believe that, okay? These guys are run by some of the top marketing firms in the world. Top marketing companies in the world. They get your name. They get your mailing list. You get on their mailing list. They get your telephone numbers. They've got boiler room people calling people up they send you detailed letters with your name on it. It says you filled out the request and they know exactly what your needs are. And they have people call you up and say they want to pray with you for your needs. Now, I'm not saying all of them are bad. I'm just saying 90% of them. And it's all about maximizing profit and the return on investment. I'm telling you guys, they run them like corporations. They're 501(c)s. They basically are all about how much revenue can they generate per giving unit. Now, you may not like that because I'm a Christian. I go to church every week. I go to a Baptist church here in Lakeland, Florida, First Baptist at the Mall. We got a great church, a great pastor. All the books are open. Every year, we print a budget, and we tell everybody where all the money goes. That's what we do. Now, I'm here to tell you, I highly suggest to you, if you're listening to me now, if you're going to a church that does not have open books, I suggest to you that you look at the books, that you have them show you the books, if you're giving a lot of money to the church. Now, if you're not giving any money to the church, which you shouldn't be going there if you're not giving anyhow, then you need to just, you know, not be going there if you're not going to help support the bills. But you need to find out what they're doing with the money. A lot of these guys have lavish lifestyles. And, guys, listen to me. I have been on a whole bunch of Christian TV talk shows around the country. I have helped these guys raise money over the years. Some of them are really good. Some of them are really bad. The point is, you kind of need to know the difference. And here's the thing I always tell my friends. Hey, look, here's the deal. If you're giving all of your money to a Christian TV evangelist in another state, and suddenly your mother or your brother or your spouse or somebody gets really sick or dies, who's supposed to come from that ministry to come visit you in the hospital or to do the funeral? Now, think through what I just said. Who's supposed to do that? I've got a dear friend of mine the other day. He got kind of mad at me. He makes good money, but he has a truck that he just doesn't seem to be able to pay off. But he has plenty of money coming in to pay the truck off. And so I talked to him the other day. I said, you know, I'm going to change his name. We're going to call him Joey. His name's not Joey, but we'll call him Joey. And I said to Joey, hey, Joey, Let me ask you a question. I said, you know, you traded your truck in a few months ago, but you carried that balance of law across with you from the last truck. I said, you're not really paying anything down on the principal on the truck. Is there a reason? Well, I just don't have the money. I'm like, well, you make like $70,000 a year. You know, after dad died, you were kind enough to move in with your mom, and you're single, and, you know, you really don't have any bills. I'd just like to ask a question. I mean, you know, where's all that money going? He goes, well, I gave a lot of money to a TV evangelist last year, and I sent him a check every month. And I said, oh. I said, you know what I suggest you do? Here's what I suggest you do. I said, realize that these guys have a marketing company that's telling them exactly what to say to you, what to write to you, and how to extract the largest amount of money from you. He goes, well, they always know exactly what they say because they write letters to me based on my questionnaire that I fill out. I said, yeah, I know. That's how it works. And I said, what I suggest you do, if you want to give them money, that's entirely up to you. I said, but I should also suggest that you support your local church. But I tell you what, since we've got some strange stuff happening right now with Jade Helm, financial reset, blood moons, you know, all of this stuff happening right now, maybe the loss of the dollar is reserve currency for the world. You've got a good job making a lot of money right now. I kind of think instead of giving all these tens of thousands of dollars away to these TV evangelists, you kind of need to pay your truck off just in case you don't keep a job and something happens. He goes, well, you really think so? And I said, yeah, I really think so. I said, there's nothing wrong with sowing seed. There's nothing wrong with giving. I think we all need to be doing that. There's nothing wrong with supporting an organization that we know is a good organization. There's nothing wrong with that. But always remember, everybody's listening to me right now, just because you take good seed and you put it in bad soil doesn't mean that you're going to get a harvest. Now listen to me, even Jesus said that. You have different rates of return based upon the soil that you put your seed in, because the seed is good, but the soil may be bad. You know, I remember a few years ago I did a seminar at a church that we had been supporting for years, and I talked about health and nutrition, and I mentioned about diet sodas. Well, the pastor was addicted to diet sodas. Aspartame. And what's interesting about aspartame is a brain entrainment molecule. You have an aspartate receptor in the brain. And when you actually ingest aspartame, this aspartate receptor receives it in the brain. And when it does that, it releases dopamine. So it turns into a brain entrainment molecule that's super addictive. And after I had spoken against aspartame, and this pastor was an addict, within a few months, I was pretty much drummed out of the church, right from the pulpit, not by name, but by what I do and everything else, and I couldn't even believe it. And I asked him, I said, was that directed at me? He said, well, yeah, I need to slap you upside the head. This is what he said in an email to me. I need to slap you upside the head a little bit. And I said, what about Matthew 18? Why don't you contact me and come to me individually if you need to slap me upside the head? I said, you're just angry because of other things that are going on and because of the stuff with the aspartame. Oh, no, that's not it at all. I'm like, okay. So reality is, it's a super addictive product. I have another dear friend of mine, two more people that I know. One girl who did research for me, another pastor friend of mine, who both came off of aspartame addiction this past 6 months, and both of them went through horrible, horrible side effect withdrawals from it. And so, I mean, I'm talking all the way down to, it's talking opiate withdrawal with blankets on them, sweating, hallucinations, and everything else. This product is bad. It was brought to us by Rumsfeld. It was brought to us by G.D. Searley. It's an absolute poisonous product. It should never have been allowed to be put into the population as far as into the food supply system back in the 80s, late 70s. It's a poisonous, poisonous product. If you go to the website, healthmasters.com, I wrote an entire article on this that was in one of my books. It's called Aspartame, A Chronicle of Crime, and you can read it for free. You can also sign up for the newsletter there at healthmasters.com. All right, but Dave Dabelmeyer, he'll be with us in Washington, D.C. He goes, a man is not free if his speech is not free. And he goes, free speech is not free if it never has been. There will always be those who will do anything they can to prevent a man from expressing his thoughts. After all, free speech is just an extension of thoughts that often come from the heart and not the mind. A man is never free if they remove him the right to say what is in his heart. His words don't have to be true or even respectful, but they are his words. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You are what you think. Wisdom may teach us to be wary of what we speak, because our words have a tendency to expose what is in the heart. That is why we must learn to guard our heart. America was a better place when we taught that to our children. I am so excited about doing a seminar with him in Washington, D.C. in a couple of weeks. Please, if you can make it over there, you need to come to hear that. It's going to be very, very informative, very, very important. Now, it will be a religious service, okay? Don't get all bent out of shape. It's not going to be a political rally. We're going to be talking about God, about Jesus Christ, about what needs to be done. See, right now, we need a miracle in this country. So if I haven't meddled enough today, I might as well finish meddling. We need God Almighty himself, who I believe resides in the 13th dimension that science calls the eternal now, who basically created the heavens and the earth, who controls this whole thing that we're in. We literally need a miracle from him to turn this country around. So the satanic ruling elite Rothschild cabal, who are Luciferians, who are running the planet, have decided that it's time to take over the entire world, lock, stock, and barrel. They'll do it by hook, by crook, or by war. Rothschild's wife, not his wife, his mother said once a long time ago, he said, the only time we have a war is when my son wants us to have a war in the world. They have been known for years to fund both sides of the war, both sides of the conflict, and then they put both sides into debt. This is a group of evil, 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 Sabbatane, Frankist, Kabbalists who have twisted and distorted the entire way of life on this country, in this country and in the world, and we need a touch from God Almighty to give us a break, to give us leniency, to slow down the opening of the book of Revelation if it already hasn't opened up. We need mercy from God is what we need. We all need mercy. And hopefully we'll be able to pray together in the aggregate and we'll be able to get mercy, and hopefully we'll be able to restore the country to what it once was, and hopefully better than it once was, for at least a season for more to be saved. Back to what's happening in the White House. I try not to talk much about the White House because, quite frankly, you know, with the Diebold voting machines being so easily rigged now electronically, you know, I personally don't believe that we're getting fair elections in the United States anymore, and I don't think most of you do if you're listening to this show either. But the White House poet, who's now reading poetry in the White House, when he was a college professor, taught his kids to sit in circles and watch pornography for college class. This is Kenneth Goldsmith. University of Pennsylvania English Club course was taught by a poet who performed for President Obama at the White House. I mean, I have a hard time even reading this. Wasting time on the Internet, a once-a-week creative writing course taught by Kenneth Goldsmith that required students to stare at a computer screen for 3 hours, completed its first class this spring. Goldsmith wrote last fall that students could use 3 hours to watch porn and then use it as the basis for a compelling erotica article to write. I have never taught this class before, but I have a hunch that it's going to be a success, he said. At least one student agreed, speaking to the College Fix. A female student who took the course described it as one of the best classes I've ever taken. During the class, students sat in a circle and pushed play on the same promo, on the same porno, on multiple computers at the same time. It created a very uncomfortable environment for us. Some of the class even got up part of the way through and left because they were so uncomfortable, the girl said. This man's in the White House? You know, what the H-E double sticks is happening to the United States? What part of this is okay? This isn't okay. All right. Sorry about that. I can't come getting carried away. Okay, let me go ahead. We're going to just keep going on. I have so many stories here to cover. I'm almost out of time. Lindsey Williams, Martin Armstrong, Alex Jones, Hagman, Hodges, they're all warning Steve Quayle about what is coming in the fall of 2015. Not since the financial crash of 2008 have so many prominent people, this is an article by Michael Schneider, who I interviewed, by the way, when I was hosting the Power Hour as a guest host. Not since the financial crash of 2008 have so many prominent people issued such urgent warnings about a specific time period. Almost daily now, really big names are coming out with chilling predictions about what they believe is going to happen during the second half of 2015. But it isn't just what these people have been having a bad feeling about things. The truth is that we are witnessing a confluence of the circumstances and events in the second half of this year that is unprecedented. This is something that I've covered in previous articles that went mega viral all over the internet entitled Seven Key Elements That Are Going to Happen by the End of September. This is by Michael Schneider. You can read his stuff. I love this guy. He's a great writer. Personally, I have never been more convinced or concerned about any period of time than I'm in the second half of 2015. And I will show you below I'm definitely not alone. Then he goes on, he starts quoting all of these different people about what they're saying and what the possibilities of what are happening is going to be. I talked to one of my friends yesterday as a general manager for a local car dealership, and I told him, I said, be really careful with your money right now, because if we have an issuance of new money, or if the dollar is reset, or if we lose our currency reserve status as far as the petrodollar, the dollar could lose 30, 40, 50% of its value in just a couple of days. And if that happens, you won't be able to fix it. Same thing. If you want to try to have a store of wealth, I've always recommended using silver and gold. I was taught that, 35 years ago. And I tell you what, if you just store up a little bit of silver and a little bit of gold on a monthly basis, it can really start adding up after a period of years. And if you've got a bunch of money in savings that's not getting any return anyhow, gold and silver, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not giving you investment advice, is pretty good right now, because they're doing these naked shorts to it to keep the prices artificially down right now. And they're being drained. The central banks are being drained of gold. It's going into China. It's going into Russia. It's going to other countries. So it's a pretty good value right now, and I really believe there's going to be a pretty good uptick on it. Here's another article I want to cover with you. Oh, this is the same thing. This is by David Schmidt. He's talking about the upcoming currency collapse, but we're not going to go into that, because that's going to be redundant now. We've already covered that. And this is another really good article. This is another one. But again, this is going down. This is the hot links going to the Pentagon studies protesters to prepare for a civil breakdown for 2015. Looking for mass civil breakdown in the future. Pentagon prepares for economic breakdown. You know, let me ask you guys a question, because we're almost out of time now. Let me just share a few things with you. You need to realize this. This whole thing that we live in, this earth, this planet, this now we know we got a pixel count, so they're calling it a hologram, this reality that we have is not the real thing. The real reality will be with Jesus Christ when we're in heaven. We all know that if we're Christians and we're born again. But the point is, this is the only reality that we know now, so we cling on to it and we try to keep it here and stay here with it as long as we possibly can. But the thing about it is this. You know, what we have to do is understand that if we don't stay as Americans in the aggregate, if we don't start raising little Americans again, if we don't turn off the TV set, if we don't turn off the TV sets at night, we need to be listening to high-quality entertainment, high-quality music. You need to be in a really good church. You need to be praying every day with your family. And you need to realize that this isn't a practice session. This is real. I want to thank you so much for being here for the inaugural kickoff of this show. I really enjoyed it. Go to healthmasters.com. Find out all about our newsletters and our phenomenal products. Find out about the Hagman Blood Sugar Protocol and the Hodges Joint Rebuilding Formula Protocol, and about our magnesium kits. Thank you for supporting healthmasters.com, because they're bringing you this show. We'll be every day, 3 to 4, Monday through Friday. And I just want you to know that I appreciate all of you, and I know a lot of my customers are listening to this, and a lot of the customers are Health Masters, and a lot of the people have been reading my books and my material for the past 35 years. Thank you. I pray that God blesses you. I pray that His face shines upon you. I pray that He gives you all peace. I want to thank you again. God bless you. Listen to this beautiful music, and we'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon.